says that when Yosef revealed himself to the brothers, so he said, Ani Yosef, ha'od avichai. And the Medrash says, Oy lanu miyom hadin, oy lanu miyom hatochacha. They to us, when God is going to come and rebuke each and every one of us, if the brothers who are older than Yosef couldn't stand up to the rebuke of Yosef when he said to them, Ani Yosef, ha'od avichai, how are we going to stand up when God rebukes us? So the obvious question is, where's the rebuke? Well, he says, I'm Yosef, is my father alive? Where's the rebuke there? Secondly, they ask, why did he have to ask if his father's alive? It was obvious that his father was alive, because his father wasn't alive. Why were they making this whole big deal that Yehuda should take his place and he should go back to his father? If his father wasn't alive, what's the big deal? Obviously, they thought the father was alive. So what would help to ask them again? So the Beis Halevi says, famous answer, which we'll say quickly, because I want to give you quite a few other possible answers, including a few of my own. The Beis Halevi says the rebuke was the following. You claim that you care about your father's feelings, and how could I do this to his favorite son, and you want to bring him back to the father, because how could you see the father's terrible suffering? Ani Yosef, remember me? Ha'od avichai, is it possible my father's still alive, what you did to me? So you people are self-contradictory, right? When it suits you, you care about your father to play on my heartstrings to get me to let Binyamin go. When it doesn't suit you, you don't care about your father. He says, that's the worst kind of rebuke. That's the kind of rebuke God's going to give us in the future. He's not going to come. Person says, God's going to say to him, why don't you give tzedakah? And the person's going to say, I was poor and I didn't have money to give tzedakah. God, you understand, I didn't have it. So God's not going to go into a whole tirade of how important tzedakah was and he should have given it anyway. You know what he's going to say? He's going to say, I accept your excuse. You're poor, you didn't have money to give on tzedakah. I really feel bad for you. But according to my records, on this and this day, you ate in this restaurant, this was the bill, here was the tip. For a person who didn't have any money, where'd you get the money to eat in the restaurant? So you're a total contradiction. When you need something, you have the money for the restaurant. For stock, you don't have the money. So it's not that you don't have the money, it's your self-contradiction. That in itself is the worst kind of rebuke. So that's what Yosef told him. That's what Beis Halevi. I want to give a few different answers. One answer that I think I said last year was the following. And that is, it's close to what a Michtam Eliyahu says. Michtam Eliyahu says that the Gemara says there's no Gehenim in the future. God's going to take the sun, uncover it, and that'll be a Gehenim for the Rishoyim and a healing for the Tzadikim. The same uncovered sun. So the Michtam Eliyahu explains it the following way. In this world, Rishoyim have a lot of excuses, justifications, and they've convinced themselves that what they're doing is 100% okay. And Tzadikim always have reservations. Am I doing what's right or whatever? In the future, God is going to make it clear to both of them. You're going to be able to see everything as it really is. It'll be this light of truth, right, that will make it clear that the Rishoyim won't have any more excuses. They'll see clearly the truth. And that's the worst Gehenna, having to live with what you did and not being able to justify it or excuse it or have any excuses. That's the Gehenna. And the tzaddikim, that truth will show that what they did, they shouldn't have any misgivings, no doubts. It'll be clear to them. That'll be the greatest Gan Eden, greatest Hanoah. That's what Michtam Eliyahu says. Maybe the same thing over here. You know what the rebuke was? Just that Yosef said to him the following. I'm Yosef, right? And now I'll explain to you what ha'od avichai means. It doesn't mean, is my father still alive? He wanted to know if Yaakov is still alive. He knew he was alive. What he meant is the following. You convinced yourselves that I was trying to take our father from myself and get you thrown out, cursed, like Avram did to Yishmael and Yitzchak did to Esav, and you were trying to malign me. I was trying to malign you, you thought, and I was trying to get you out of the family, and I was trying to take over. That's what you thought. Okay, you had this mistaken idea that I looked at Yaakov as my father, not your father, only my father. Right? He's my father and you're out of the picture. And you therefore felt 100% justified that I was a rodef. I was trying to destroy you in this world, the next world. You had a right, therefore, to get rid of me, and you were very nice and only sold me. That's what you convince yourselves. Okay? I've now put you through a whole thing where if I would want to kill all of you right now because you're spies and you're ganovim or whatever, I've really framed you. And if I really wanted to harm you, I could do it now easily, way far away from anybody in Mitzrayim as a second. Nobody would ever know that I was your brother or whatever. Ani Yosef. I'm Yosef. I'm not interested in harming you, right? I have you in a position where I can do whatever I want. Obviously, I'm not. Ha'od avichai is that concept now that you convinced yourself that I'm taking Yaakov as my personal father and getting you out of the picture. Is that still alive by you? Is that still operable? And if it's not, then face the fact that you made a terrible, terrible mistake here. What you thought was justified, you 100% did something terrible. And that's the worst rebuke. I've shown you that all your excuses are up in smoke. And is this concept that you built everything on, that it's Avi, I'm looking to make him my father, that doesn't exist anymore because I've just repudiated that. That's the rebuke. That same rebuke that the Rebbe should give us. He doesn't have to argue with us. He'll just show us the truth. And when we see the truth, that's going to be the worst rebuke there could be, because all the excuses and all of the justifications are going to melt away. Second pshat. They really go together. Two pshat. In order to do that, I want to say the following. It says that the Torah, we spoke about this the end of last year, so I'll go over quickly. The Torah, David HaMelech was punished because he called the Torah Zmiros. So we asked, the Torah itself calls itself a song. Kisvu lechem es ha-shira hazos. So we said there's a difference between shira and zimra. Shira is something that emanates from the essence of the thing. Everything sings its song, it expresses its essence. Shira comes from the word yashar, comes straight from the essence of the person. Zimra, on the other hand, comes from zmira. Zmira means to prune. You stimulate something in an external way to make it grow more. You're not expressing the essence, but you're adding to the essence. You're stimulating it from the outside. Torah is a shira. It's kihem chayenu. It's our essence. Torah is not an external stimulus. When David called Torah zmiros, that was wrong. Torah is not an external stimulus. Torah is an expression of the essence. Kihem chayenu v'orech yomeinu. That was the mistake. That's the case. We have a pasuk that says the following: Ashira l'Hashem b'chayai, azamra l'Elokai b'odi. The simple meaning is, I will sing to God when I'm alive, and I will sing to Him while I'm still around. B'odi, meaning while I'm still around. It's just the same idea in different words. But I want to say, according to this explanation of shira and zimra, that means something different. Ashira l'Hashem b'chayai. God gave me the essence of my life, and I will express to Him that essence, a thank you for the essence. Ashira l'Hashem b'chayai. But I'm supposed to add to that essence. I'm supposed to add, ode, more. Add. I'm not supposed to just give back God the essence that He gave me. I'm supposed to add to it and enhance it and make it grow. Azamra l'Elokai. The odi, the extra that I'm supposed to make my essence grow, is like pruning. And I take away the bad and give the good more, more stimulus to grow. I bring out the potential that God gave. God gave me potential. For the potential, I'll sing to Him Shira and express the potential. But I will sing Zmira to be able to generate more. Add to that potential, develop that potential, enhance it, or whatever. That's therefore what Yosef said is the following: Ani Yosef, I'm Yosef. Every one of Yaakov's children represented a different aspect of Yaakov's personality, and that's why it says that if he died before any of his children died, none of his children died before him, Yaakov was given a guarantee of Olam Haba. If any of his children died before him, the guarantee didn't stand. The way I understand that is, Yaakov was supposed to interact with his children throughout his lifetime. Each child represented a different facet of his personality, and the interaction with that child help to bring out that aspect of his personality to perfection. So if he had a chance to interact with all of his children throughout his entire life, then he would bring out every facet of his personality to perfection. That's Olam Haba. But if any of his children died first and he couldn't interact with that child for a portion of his life, then he wasn't guaranteed that perfection. He was missing that aspect of his character having that perfection, and therefore he may not have a guaranteed Olam Haba. That's how I understand that memory. That's the case, Yosef said the following. I know the father of Reuven, Shimon, Levi, he's alive. But Ani Yosef, I'm Yosef. I have my specific aspect of Yaakov's personality. Ha'od Avichai, is my father still alive? Or did you totally destroy that aspect of Yaakov's personality, right? And therefore my father, what I was supposed to interact with him, you've killed. You basically made an atrophy. That was the Musar. And to make it even better, we'll max in the other word. Ha'od Avichai? Is my father still existing? I know he's alive. But is the old, the extra, what he was supposed to generate and enhance that potential that he had? I know that his essence is alive. He's breathing. That I heard from you. But is Ha'od Avichai? Is that extra? And part of that extra is what I was supposed to make. So the Avi, because it's Avi and it's Od. Is that still alive or not? And that's what the Rebbeinu Shlomo rebuke each and every one of us. I gave you tremendous potential. You were supposed to develop it. Do you have that Od? You're giving back to me what I gave you? Or are you giving back to me something enhanced and added to or whatever? That's the rebuke. Right? And everybody has the ability to be a catalyst for somebody else. Were you the catalyst for other people? Did you develop your potential and enhance it? Or are you just giving God back what he gave you? And did you develop that in somebody else? Just like Yosef was supposed to develop it in Yaakov, did you develop that in other people too? That is the Musar. Okay. What else? Yeah. Yes and no. They say there's a very big difference between what they said then and what they realize now. What they said then was, they said, you know what, we really did the right thing by selling him. But when he was begging us or whatever, we weren't as merciful as we should have been. We should have done it in a more merciful way. We were right in what we did, but the way we did it wasn't proper, right? Reuven said, nothing doing. I wasn't even there when you did it, that, right? I can only be blamed for the actual selling, because I wasn't there. And I'm also here. So forget about admitting that you didn't do it the right way. You didn't do the right thing altogether, right? And now they admitted to that. Till now they didn't admit to that. Till now they still held, were justified. It's just, we should have had more mercy, right? We're being held for the mercy. And Reuven said, I told you not to do it altogether. And you can't say we're being punished for how we did it, because I wasn't there when you did it. So I can only be punished for what happened. And that was what's it called. Then I'm also being held responsible. One more thing. And then I don't remember who I heard this from, but it's a very nice pshat. It says that Yaakov Avinu, when he finally saw Yosef after 22 years, so Yosef was crying on his shoulders, and doesn't say that Yaakov was crying. Why? Because Yaakov was reading Kriya Shema. What are you reading Kriya Shema for? So I heard two ideas. One idea, I think the Maral says, Kriya Shema is V'yohavtas Hashem Elokecha, right? The expression of love of God. When Yaakov had the greatest feeling of love that he ever had in his life, he sees his beloved son after 22, you can imagine what kind of seeing him for the first time alive. So he took that love and sublimated it and directed it towards the Rebbeinu Shlomo. That's Kriya Shema. More than anything else you love in this world, love the Rebbeinu Shlomo. So take all the love that you have and direct it towards the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Yosef didn't have to do that, because love and respect for his father was also a mitzvah. So Mele, he sublimated into that mitzvah. So he cried for his, on his father. But Yaakov couldn't do that to his son. There's no mitzvah to love your son. So he had to sublimate it and use it for a mitzvah. He took that feeling and directed it towards God. That's one pshat. Second pshat, I don't remember who I heard it from, was a very nice pshat. And that is, what does it say in Kriya Shema? That you should love God, even if he takes away your life, you should be willing to give your life. For the last 22 years, Yaakov didn't feel his life was worth too much. So when he said Kriya Shema, big deal. I should love God, right, and be willing to give my life. Yeah, what, you know, willing to, what, if all you have is $5, and you're willing to give, it's no big deal. But now, my wife, my life is worth, right, it's a treasure. I have Yosef back. My life now just took on tremendous value. First time in 22 years he could say Kriya Shema and mean, it meant something. I'm willing to give up this life for the Rabbanu Shalom. That's really something. Give up the life I had for the last 22 years, no big deal. Now I have a chance to say, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol nodecha, on this life that I haven't had a chance for 22 years, now's the time to say Kriya Shema. That was a very, very nice idea. Okay. And I'm working on another idea, which I don't have yet, for next week, of why Yaakov read Kriya Shema then, and why later on it's the children that said Kriya Shema before Yaakov died, not him. And here he said Kriya Shema, and the Kriya Shema we said is for what they did. What's the connection between them? I have an idea. I haven't yet. By next week, maybe we'll...